Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann McNeil, and I want to welcome you to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Today, like every other Sunday, when we come on with this podcast, it just continues to remind me, after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, I am still thoroughly convinced that we are leaving our diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we are seeking are found within us and in our own hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we are calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Our special guest today, along with my co-host Ann McNeil and Mr. Dan Calloway, our very special guest today is none other than Mr. Al Shipman. Mr. Shipman is a proud alumni of Palm Beach Lakes High School, and he was a three-spot athlete in 1992. But after his sophomore year, he decided to concentrate on track and field and football. He earned a full athletic scholarship to the University of Miami. He later went on to enjoy a five-year career in the Canadian Football League. He is now back at his as an alumnus and as the head football coach, where he has been for the last 7 years, and under his tutelage, he has led the Rams to four winning seasons, reaching the second round, and he's done this twice. So help me welcome my co-host, Dan Calloway, as we bring on our special guest, Mr. Al Shipman. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good afternoon. That's Al Shipman Jr.
Shipman Jr.
Al is back in '60s when he was all world as a quarterback and baseball player and a basketball player, and now is a reverend. And so his son, the coach now at Palm Beach Lakes, is one of my favorite people because of what he's doing on that campus and what he's doing in the community. Are you here, Al Jr.?
Yes, sir, I am, and thank
okay.
you for having me.
Okay, now just why don't we do this here? Because there are a lot of people calling in because they heard that last name, Shipman. That carries a lot of weight in Palm Beach County and the state of Florida and all over the country. I need you to give me a little about where you started school at from the first grade all the way through Palm Beach County. Would you do that for me?
Yes, sir. I started out at Lincoln Elementary and I left from there and went to John F. Kennedy. And then for high school, I went to Palm Beach Lakes, obviously. Well, it was Twin Lakes my first year, and then went over to Palm Beach Lakes.
Beautiful. Now, what is it like?
Oh, I can't forget. I'm sorry, Ms. Calloway. And my olive for daycare.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, don't ever forget that. That's my church for the last 16 years. Let me ask this question. What is like being a son of a legend, your father, and then named after him? Has that been a hindrance or been a help?
I would definitely say it's been a help to me, Mr. Calloway. You know, my father is a great man, as everybody knows. He's a very proud man, and he was a heck of an athlete. Now, I will say this. All the film I had to watch on him was on reel to reel, you know, this. But that joker could play that he was a heck of an athlete. And as far as the pressure is concerned, you know, I just think any time you have a leader, you know, your guider and your teacher as a fine example, there's always going to be some pressure. Your beast try to come close to the example that, you know, he's given off. So that kind of kept me in line, and that kept me, and that's what keeps me pushing today. I know how strong of a man.
Well, one thing I do know, you know, you may not know about the film, but I saw every play, everything, ever since he was playing what we call Pony League Baseball, Senior League Baseball, American Legion Baseball. And all the time he was a point guard on the basketball team at John F. Kennedy, and graduating the class and a quarterback on the football team, and with an outstanding team because he had the great Lamar Paris as a running back. And everybody knows that. Lamar played 13 years in the NFL and made All-Pro, 9 of them. So I got a chance to watch that from the first seat. But the thing that I need to know, that two things. What do you think about your football team this year? You've been producing some great programs here, especially when you got all these high schools around you, like Palm Beach Garden, Dwyer, and all these kids coming out of Riviera. You get most of the kids out of Riviera on the south end. And the ones in Monroe Heights and some of this avenue be going to Dwyer and Palm Beach Garden. How do you maintain putting those type of teams on the field every year?
I'm sorry, Mr. Calloway, the last part broke up a little bit.
What I was saying, how do you maintain sharing a lot of your kids coming from Riviera? The bulk of your kids come from the south end of Riviera. And then in the middle and on the north end, they're going to go to Palm Beach Garden, Dwyer. That's three big high schools. And then, of course, you got Suncoast in the middle, which is, it's a little different, but it's still getting the kids that you might have gotten. Now, how do you maintain with the volume of kids you're getting out of Riviera and put a productive team on the field every year?
Man, well, I gotta, you know, definitely give props to my to the coaching staff. You know, I think we do a very good job of trying to prepare these kids and trying to lead these kids. So I'm definitely gonna give them their pat on the back. And then, you know, it's the few kids that we do get, you know, generally are impact kids. So you know, that gives us opportunity to be successful. And then, you know, we are one of those the schools that got neighboring, different neighborhoods on the same team. So, you know, we got to give the props, you know, to these downtown kids as well. And then for them to be able to maintain and not you know, be at each other's throats is a testament as well, just to the kids in general.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because that was my next question. You know, territorial things mean a lot. Now, let's go back years ago when kids was on the south end of Riviera. They went to Kennedy, and everybody in Riviera went to Kennedy, and then they opened up Suncoast, and then they had a choice. Then when 1972, everybody had to go in districts. And your school and Palm Beach School is very difficult because of you getting kids from everywhere, and especially your school. Some of your kids come from the northern end of West Palm Beach and the southern end of Riviera and on the west part. What I'd like for you to discuss, and you hit on something, because of your name and the popularity of your name and your visibility with the recreation centers and going on the playgrounds and talking to the inner city kids, because I know Mitchell, I know he was out there, and then you got your right-hand man. All those are born and reared in Riviera, and they know everybody.
Right.
See, I think that with your coaching staff, and I know all those guys really well, I think that they were athletes, and they are coaches in their own right. And your involvement off season, you're visible, and then you're church-going people. Everybody's a church-going people. Now, expound on that a little bit.
I think that you kind of just hit the head, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Mr. Calloway. There's not a whole lot I can say about that. I just think that we were all brought up a certain type of way, and you know, like you said, we all were brought up in the church, and, you know, and around good people, but we all received discipline as well, you know, and you know, I think we all took that same approach when we're coaching, and then just kind of going back to the school boundaries, you know, if you remember, that would have been 87, 86, 87, when I was in middle school. You know, I stayed right across the street from North Shore. So I was kind of in between me, Roosevelt Middle and Kennedy. And I ended up getting bused to Kennedy. So, you know, these boundary things, you know, have kind of been going on for a while. But, you know, just that those 37 blocks, you know, them 37 streets that create Riviera Beach, there's a huge amount of talent that comes from out of there. And, you know, generally speaking, you know, if you can pull the top guys out of there, like I said, you're going to have opportunities to be successful.
Well, the other thing, I've been out there. You had me to toss a coin years ago, and years ago you had this big like a bowl game, and you had your school against Suncoast school before
right.
the old
right.
Suncoast, not the new Suncoast,
right.
And you got people who are living in the city, like I said, Riviera, and they
right.
are divided when the schools play football games. You know, they all grew up in the gyms in the playgrounds, but the citizens have to pull against the old team because it's Palm Beach Lakes, and then there's people
right.
with that Suncoast. Now we don't have the rivalry thing like it used to be because that's out. We
right.
trying to you go out on the field, whoever win, shake hands after that because you're gonna drink and eat a hot dog next day and some of the boys are dating the girls at the different schools and different things like that. Now
right.
I think that is a testament of you and your staff. See, I watched that. And I watched when we had a big banquet for your team years ago. And because we're gonna go into it started September, our 100-year anniversary, and your school, I've already told your father, we going to honor your school mostly because of you and your coaching staff, that
yeah.
the school we're going to highlight and bring other schools around it probably in February or March, but it'll be after
yeah.
the playing season. We won't interfere with that. And my committee will get with you about your banquet. Now, what month is normally your football banquet?
We generally try and hit that after we come back from Christmas break, sometime between, you know, we definitely don't want to run into the Valentine's Day thing. So when we come, I would say mid to the end of January, and
okay.
maybe at the latest, the first week of February.
Well, since I'm in charge of putting that on, the events and the spokesperson for the 100-year anniversary, I think that I may use that as probably like the last week of January. In other words, I don't want anything to get in the week of the third week of that Martin Luther King week and the birthday
right.
and, of course, and the parades and everything like that. If you go on your schedule and you get with me and Adi and our staff, I'll put that together. And you will pick the place. And if not, then if you don't have the place, then you need to tell me right away and I'll get the place. All I need
okay.
is the place. All I need is your place, or if you're going to have it, wherever you're going to have it, and a number, you know.
Yes,
a guesstimate of all your football teams, because you got probably the junior varsity and the the varsity, and I don't know whether you have a freshman team or not, but all I need is a number. And then factor in the, what do you call it, the parents and the children.
Right.
And we'll make this a big thing. And I may bring in a guest speaker that I met with last 2 days ago up in Palm City. And if you notice,
okay,
on 60 Minutes, 6 weeks ago, he was on 60 Minutes. He's the second black to buy a golf course, own a golf course up there. Stanley Campbell, and he's ran for me to bring some kids up there so you can talk to him about business and show him the golf course. But I may use him as your guest speaker. And
okay,
then that, in other words, it's more than the football team field.
Yes, sir.
Your dad is big on this here, planning what we're going to do with the kids, and you've been doing a great job of sending those kids off to college. That's one thing I respect for you and your program. You've been trying to get them to a higher educational program after they're through playing and graduating from Palm Beach Lakes. So if you okay that, I'll put that in on the table next week, and that's a done deal. I mean, we're going to do that. You just have to get me when you think in the next 3 or 4 weeks, because the city manager needs me to give him an update on all the activities we're going to be doing. See, we're going to honor you and your team because you all are part of Riviera. And then, of course, your dad and most of your family came out of Riviera. So, yeah, the Patterson, your mother, with her family, the Patterson, and the Shipman's stable, the paragon of peace, builders of the community. So we want to give back to you and your staff and all those wonderful kids you have. So you can do that. Now, another thing I need you to tell us about, how often do you relate, go back to some of your classmates that you grew up with and they got different jobs? We need to have, you can get some of those. I would like for you to bring some of those more than likely. I know them all. I just can't remember who all was classmates way back then. And
right.
We can have a little mini reunion that week, okay?
Right. Well, I definitely want to try and get, with that being said, our class president, Elvin Dowling, is actually running for, I think he's running for state senate, if I'm not mistaken. He was my class president. So if we're going to do something like that, we definitely want to bring him in.
Well, he would be the wonderful speaker. Elvin Dowling is like another son of mine. He's down in Miami.
Right.
He's he is a minister now. I had him when he was a teen. Maude Lee put him in my hand. No, I know him really well. That we will definitely bring him up and let him be the speaker, because I can tell you one thing, very few can match him with that microphone in his hand.
Yes.
Well, you got that. Now, give me a overview how you feel about your team going to be performing. Everybody want to praise it. Every frog praises pawn, but I need you to give it to me like I'm the reporter from the Palm Beach Post. What you expect out of your team this year? Is this a rebuilding team? Is this a bunch of veterans? How are we going to handle this team this year?
So, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Mr. Calloway. Just going back, we were super young last year, right? So I think I started maybe 7 to 8, you know, either started or played significant amounts of time. So, you know, last season was a crazy season, you know, with the COVID and, you know, how they were busting us and things of that nature. And, you know, again, I had a very young team, and then I had even my older guys had been on a JV team that hadn't had a whole lot of success. So, you know, last year was kind of just trying to implement, you know, us learning how to win. And, you know, actually at the end of the season, we ended up getting that one win. Well, we lost some quality seniors out of that group. And with that being said, those younger kids that didn't quite know how to win are having to be the leaders this year, and they're still learning. So to call it a rebuilding year, I never want to call it a rebuilding year because I still have high expectations for the remainder of the season. You know, we started out 0-4 right now. You know, really three of those four losses, we were very, very competitive without a lot of our starters. Those starters are starting to get back healthy, and parents got to understand when you got four and five of your starting guys out, they come back for one game, you know, yeah, you'll see some flashes, but you're going to see some rust. You know, let's give it a couple of weeks with all of our guys, you know, back healthy, understanding what's going on, and, you know, ready to play some football. So, like I said, Mr. Calloway, I definitely expect for us to turn our season around. I feel like we can run the table. We still have an opportunity at the playoffs. And then, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, when we collecting all the equipment, now I'm jumping into recruiter mode. You know, now I got to get my kids in the school. So
beautiful. Well, let me say this here, and I'm quite sure your father is probably an expert at this. He would understand this better than you, and not making a difference between the two of you, but age and wisdom. One of the things, like now, see, you a coach. Your number one goal is to try to win and educate the group. But my belief is develop people to be good people. Whether the girls, the cheerleaders, or the players, if winning is not the ultimate goal. It's participating. See, because you win the day they came out there and you start teaching them. That's a winner because you're teaching them about life. And you've been big on, because I've talked to you numerous times about how many kids you're getting off to universities or put them in a work force. Everybody can't go to a university, but they can prepare to have a job to take care of their family. And if you can handle that, and that's what coaches, because, see, once you coach a kid, you're coaching that kid for the rest of his life. Because your father right now still, and he's coaching you, and sometimes he's still coming to me to give him some advice like I'm still his coach. You never stop coaching. I tell you right now, you will never, and you know it because you've been coaching a long time, and a lot of those kids come back and they want to pick your brain and let you know what's been going on. Now, how are you handling that? Is that a year-round thing? Is that difficult with your family and in coaching?
You know, the year that we won Team of the Year, in my kind of acceptance speech, you know, I made sure, you know, I apologized to my daughter because, you know, I missed a lot of her stuff, and I also made that same speech at our team banquet, but you know, I missed some things because of football, you know, especially being the head coach, you know, some of her athletic sports now, all of the major stuff, I was definitely there, but my wife supports me 100%, man, and like she's by my side, so that family part, you know, right now is really simple. Now we miss our daughter who's off at her second year, Savannah State, but you know, she and our relationship is really good because she is a team mom and a coach out there.
Beautiful. Well, I'm so proud of you and your program because of your coaching staff. If you have the same coaching staff, and I haven't been out there lately because of the pandemic, and at 83 years of age, I have to count the places I can be all the time. How long and how many years that all of you all been together? Is that from high school or junior high school and after college, all you all? But you've been there for a long time working together.
Right.
Tell us a little about that.
you know how long me and Mr. Evers been together.
Yeah.
But you know, there were some changes in the off season, Mr. Galloway, to my staff, but I still do have a couple of those guys from the original staff. My assistant head coach, Julius Edwards, we actually kind of started together over at Gardens, and you know, when I took the position as head coach at Palm Beach Lakes, you know, I said, hey man, if you don't come, I'm not going to take it. So, but anyway, he and I have been together for probably maybe 13 years now, 12 years now.
It's a long time.
And then I, you know, we have a couple more that I've, you know, that I've been around for, you know, 3 to 5 years. And, you know, like I said, we got some new guys, some new additions that, and they're doing a great job right now.
Well, the reason why you train your coaches, see, when Jeff was, I think Jeff was working at Pompano or something as a track coach.
Yeah.
I remember. Mm-hmm. You know, I've known mm-hmm. Jeff way before he was born, and his mother, Deborah, doesn't like for me to tell everybody that I knew her. See, Jeff's grandmother, Claudia, is one of my closest friends from the day I was born, because I'm only 2 months older than her. We started the school in 1943 together, and I want the world to know that. I don't see her much, and we are, you know, going out, but the love and the respect. See, the Bostics, they were right off S Avenue. That's that part of
yeah.
that F Avenue. Vic owned Boulevard then, but we were all born with the same in the same place in our homes with a midwife. See, when you were reared up in Riviera with the amenities and the things that we had to do without and survive, but it's one thing we had is what the Africans said, it take a village to rear a child. See, every family looked after each family. And so I'm just proud of your relationship, and especially with your father's people, and then your mother people were reared up in Riviera. See, and then your people and Jeff people was reared up in Riviera. So I'm glad that you all are still together. And I don't get a chance, and I know that sometimes you will send Jeff or somebody to pick me up and bring me out there to watch everything. But when you get older, it's better for me to stay in this air condition. But give us something that we can expect in the last half of your season there. So that's what's going to be coming up pretty soon.
Right. I expect for us offensively to be more explosive. I expect for us to be more efficient. And, you know, we're going to be very difficult to deal with defensively. You know, some of these young guys, that, you know, the game is starting to slow down for them a little bit. And, you know, we got to get a little bit tougher up front. But, like I said, some of those skill guys, the game is starting to slow down for them a little bit. So I can, you know, I'm thinking we're going to get some more turnovers and, you know, put us in a better position offensively. So, again, I think you're going to see a team that's going to fight hard, Mr. Calloway, win, lose, or draw for the remainder of the season, but I think, you know, you'll definitely see a much improved team in the next coming weeks.
Well, before Ann McNeil asks the question to get her back on, she's listening right now. She is the boss of this program. I need to ask you, your work is never done because you got to be calling different colleges. You got to be on the recruiting trail and answer the questions, filling out forms to get those kids off to school. Now, do you prefer the kids to stay in Florida, or is it easier to put them in the schools in Florida than send them all over the nation like I used to do?
First and foremost, you know, I love my alma mater, University of Miami, but when I had an opportunity to play, you know, over in Canada, man, and experience, you know, just different things, you know, just things that you really just take for granted, like the changing of the seasons, you know. We don't get that down here. You know, just little things like that. I want guys to have an opportunity to go off and experience different things, man. I have friends that have never left the state of Florida, you know, and you know, I'm getting on up there too, Mr. Calloway. I'm 47 years old, so I got, you know, 48, 50-year-old friends that have never left the state of Florida. So, you know, I think it's a great thing for them to go off and experience, you know, some different things. But at the end of the day, I just want to go to school, and hopefully I can get you in free, and if not for free, as little as possible out of pocket.
Well, that is the most intelligent thing you can do, because of your father and I talk about that we should travel. When I was coaching a lot and running the program, I took in 1972. The guys that we went up to Hartford, Connecticut to play in the Bill Russell basketball tournament that summer, and we won. Mm-hmm. They're grandparents right now, and they're still talking about the experience. Attorney Malcolm Cunningham Jr. called me 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was in Hartford, and he reminded people he was on the junior team. He was on the 13 to 15-year-old team with David Cromartie and Conrad Jones and all that group. But Cecil Ralphin and Randolph Burns, those were, and Claude Brown and Fred Brown, they were all on the team that won the national champion, and Randolph Burns. See, the thing about that, when you do that, you learn from different places, but most of all, the experience that you can tell your grandchildren that you were there.
Right.
And I think that what you said then, the next time when you're speaking before a bunch of kids, let them know Palm Beach County. Riviera is not the world. West Palm Beach is not the world. My sociology teacher was Mr. S. Bruce McDonald. He's 93 years of age. He's still mentoring me. He's not, he told me that in 1954 when I was in the 10th grade, at least he told the class, he said, West Palm Beach is not the world. Go off and experience, and it's a part of your education. And that's what I remember, and that's what I've tried to do, and that's what I try to tell people. It's good to come back and go and make this your home, but you got to do better than thinking that you're going to live right here. You just said most of the people haven't left Florida, something like a West Palm Beach or Riviera. We took a bunch of kids over to Peanut Island this summer.
Mm-hmm.
95% of the people in Riviera have never been to Peanut Island.
Never been right to
Peanut
Island.
Marina. Yeah, and you see, that's historic. You got the bunker over there, and it's educational. See, this is why we make it a thing that we will always get the water boat, the water taxes. Now, why is that
right.
so important? You've been looking at the water from the land all your life. But once you get
right.
in the water tax and go over there, you look at the land from the water, and that's big difference.
Right.
Okay. Now, Ms. Director, Ann, you got anything to go?
Listen, I'm taking notes from both of you and Mr. Shipman, Coach Shipman. I tip my hat to all of the lives that you're touching, and just listening to the two of you. I am reminded of how I started the show when I read about this book, Acres of Diamonds, where this guy says, you know, we could travel all over the world. And many of us, like both of you are saying, have never left home to even come back home. And I think that until we leave and come back, we have a better understanding of what it means to give back.
Right.
Can that preach?
Yeah, I certainly agree with that.
Yes.
And can I say one last thing to Mr. Calloway
yes,
as well?
Yes.
I didn't want to get, you know, I know this is a little bit, you're going back a little bit, but Mr. Calloway, you know, my dates are open as well. I know you want something solid, but I'll get with you, you know, as soon as possible. And if that date, you know, is somewhat of a conflict, you know, I don't want you to be pressed, please. You know, we can, you know, the kids don't graduate until May. So, you know, we'll have plenty of time.
Okay, then. That's good to know. See, only thing that I'll make a decision, because the city manager is sending one of his aides, I know he signed Deidre Jacobs to meet with me. There's so many outstanding things that the city for this 100-year anniversary, which is great. I'm just honored that the city authorized me to tell the story of the town. It's obvious that I'm 83 and there's only two people born in the town. One of them is Reverend David's oldest sister, Charlotte Davis Paul. She's 93. And then her sister, Willie Mae Davis Scott, she turns 86 this month in a few days.
Okay.
So therefore, it's only three people were born and reared in Riviera older than me. And because they think my mind is still stable enough to tell the story. Well, I'm doing pretty well,
right.
But I do confer with your father. He calls me all the time. And let me tell you about your father. I need to get this in here. He was one of the greatest athletes that ever left here. But I don't look at him as a great athlete. He is doing more right now than all the things he accomplished years ago because he graduated to go on and help and serve people. For the last 5 to 10 years, every Thanksgiving, we've been doing this for 57 years, he makes a point of going back to some of his co-workers, the mail carriers, and he'll go and have maybe 10 of them to go buy a ham for me. He'll come back
right.
and buy a $75 ham to help feed the least, the lost, and the left out. And people say, well, you feeding them ham? And if I told him turkeys or whatever, he's going to just say if everybody did a little, it becomes
right.
a lot. You can count yeah. on him. And him and I call him Reverend Vaughn. They will always in the background go out there and help. And right now he's putting together with one of his classmates, Mr. Butler. Played on that line out there with him back there in 6-6. And we're going to have a big cookout where we're going to bring all the old guys in there. We're going to have the best barbecue. Derek's going to be in there cooking. I got all kind of barbecue people, but most of all, Butler's going to be fixing those conch ribs. You know something
oh, yeah.
about conch ribs. See, those are the things that are important. To remind each other we still a village. And I'm so proud of you. You tell Jeff and all the rest of them, I said hello. But you get with me in a week or two and just give me
okay.
a couple of dates, and I'll put them in there and tell you that's a good time, and let's go and make this a big thing. Because you and that school will be honored.
I certainly appreciate you. Thank you so very much, Mr. Calloway.
Thank you.
As usual. And make sure you put me down, too, now. You know, anytime you ask me, you know, I'm always – Let me
and
know. I'm volunteering myself. I can know anything you need.
And tell Jeffy I said the same thing.
Yes.
Okay. And we're wrapping
yes,
up.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're wrapping up. And I just got off of a call right before this call with my classmates from 1972, and we're planning our 50th class reunion next year. And so, Mr. Shipman and Dan, I'll get with both of you regarding book scholarships we're going to be doing in the form of, right now it's $500 for book scholarship. So I'll definitely get with both of you regarding some students that may be, you know, interested in a small stipend scholarship because when you're going off to school, every penny counts.
Everything.
But I just want
right.
to, yes, sir, thank you so very much. Dan, I know you've already said your last words. If you want to say anything else, we
sure.
also want to thank everybody. We've got a lot of people listening in, so we want to thank them for listening in also.
Well, what I want the listening audience to know that we don't wait at the last minute for Thanksgiving, and this is special for me because I'm the only one left with Reverend Herman McCray, and everybody knew Herman McCray in the barbecue, and then Don Wilson, the educator, and Clark Martin, my assistant, my best friend, ever since we were 12, they all are gone. And then Johnny Carlisle epitomized what a handicapped person never look at being handicapped. Johnny Carlisle not only was a great educator, but he worked side by side with me when he was in school over at Goodmar Park before we even had the gyms. We're going to be feeding 7,000 people for Thanksgiving. And we had last year 112 volunteers to help serve to prepare the food because of we got about six people going to fry about 150 turkeys, and we're going to buy 60 honey-baked ham. That's $75 a piece. We don't count the money, what it costs. We just remember the sweat and the love that you give to see somebody else is happy that wouldn't be able to eat those type of meals on Thanksgiving, because we don't just give them one meal, we give them enough for two meals, because years ago, I ate my meal at 2 o'clock, my first meal, but around 6 or 7 o'clock, I'm stepping at some football games, and when Dallas used to play on Miami on Thanksgiving, everybody around the TV, so when we give them a carryout, it's enough food for two meals, so you just multiply 7,000 times two. And that's how many people you're going to feed. And don't you think I have forgotten Belgrade, South Bay, and Pahokee. We're going to feed 1,000 in each one of those places. That's just all to it. They're all our family. And I'm just glad. And you go back and be my eyes and ears, Coach, and tell them all I say hello and tell your daddy to get on the phone and call me. He might be listening because I need to run something about him and the reverend. They're my little reverends. We got something to do pretty soon. I'm finished, Ann.
Okay, well, I'm finished, too. We want to thank everybody for listening in, and you have been listening to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Please comment, like, and share the show, and we want to thank you, Coach Shipman, for a phenomenal interview. We've all learned a lot, and just want to continue to remind everybody that we're each leaving our diamond mines in our hometown when we leave. But when we come back and continue to share, that's the only thing that matters in the spirit of service. So, again, this is Ann McNeil, and thank you to our co-host, Dan Calloway, and we'll see everybody next week. Dan, you want to tell us who's next week?
Well, it really is supposed to be the city manager. He talked to me the other day, and I'll be meeting with him. Just leave that open. But right now, tentatively, we want to come on and talk about some of the events that we're going to have the next coming up with the 100 year anniversary. And I'll give you more definitely what's going on. But it's going to be built around Thanksgiving.
Okay, perfect.
Course, that's what it is. But I think that maybe if it's not, the city manager can make it, it'll be Artie and myself and another person on the committee. And
okay,
perfect. We got to get that done. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
And remember, you've been listening to Hashtag I Am the Hair Beach. Everybody have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.